The other day I realized God was saying to me, do you know why you've been experiencing so much favor in the comedy realm? I met with three of the biggest comedy, I don't have a manager in my comedy cheapest. Mark, I'm going on for long. I've been away for so long. All right, let's change the screen there. I've met with three of the biggest managers in comedy. Three of the biggest people who manage comedians. I don't have a manager. From day one, it's been 3 years. Nobody is like working on my behalf. Everything I do, everything you see online, it's just been me and Jesus. Just like, and from day one, I decided, Lord, you be my manager. And God said this to me the other day. Do you know why you've been seeing so much favor? Why people are after you now and they want to represent you? He said, he's doing it so that I can show people his glory. So that when I get on TV and when I get the money and when I get whatever it is that comes with whatever God is going to open up, I'll be able to say, I did it because God exists. Not because systems exist or managers or whatever what it is. And I want you guys to open up yourselves to what God can do when you start to dedicate yourself to him. Can we do that? Can we do that? Can we start this morning? And if you don't have anything to give, I promise you God still loves you. But if you feel in your heart that God is saying, today give, I want to encourage you to start that journey. Can we do that? You can see me reaching for the box. Now the yes is getting softer. Can we start this morning? Amen.
Little does Imta know that he's actually been preaching the message. And I want you to store some of those thoughts away because I'm going to remind you of what he's been saying, because that is what God is going to be saying to us this morning. Friday night was an incredible night here. I mean, it was wall-to-wall teenagers. We were downstairs in the car park in the half light in the shade, and there was netball. I thought guys could not play netball. I was wrong. Guys are like pansies. I mean, they were jumping around and standing and passing the ball. I mean, they were in touch with their feminine side. There was estrogen or something. It was coursing through the veins of these rippling big men. And it was something else to watch. And even the basketball was sad. Uzo, you're a basketball guy. Where's my mate? Come on. There was like everyone had a shot at the baskets. Do you know how many scores in total? There was 50 plus teenagers. That ball was afraid of the net. The ball was like scared, spitless, and it just, I think the ball was maybe damaged. You know, maybe it was remote control or something, but we had a great time. So that was our game night for the term, I guess. And even that didn't help. I mean, you can just see Paul standing there saying, that ball's not going in. Something's not right. You know what I mean? Even this one. None of them went in. I mean, I don't know. I think maybe the rain had caused something to happen to the net or something. And so this coming Friday night, you're in for a surprise. You're in for an experience of a lifetime. When you arrive, you won't be coming upstairs. We'll be gathered downstairs. Something unique is going to be happening up here and both next door. And we're going to have an experience firsthand of heaven or hell, depending on what you choose. It's going to be a role play of what actually happens in life. And so you will be forever changed by this night that's coming up on Friday night. It is a night to bring a friend who hasn't yet begun to think of hereafter. Have you ever seen a movie with Matt Damon called Hereafter? It's a little bit slow moving, but it's one of the most thought-provoking movies I've ever seen. A French woman says to the boss that she's sleeping with, great example for life, right? She says to him, do you think that there's something when we die? And he says, I'm sorry to say, but as a typical French gentleman, of course not. If there was, there would be proof and we would know about it. When you go, the lights go out, the plug is pulled, that's it. We want to show you what actually happens when you die. Are you up for this? And it's something that every single teenager in Northcliffe High needs to experience, in Greenside High needs to experience, in Parktown Guys and Girls needs to experience, in every single high school, even Hyde Park. Okay? So if you don't bring someone on Friday night, you might be the one responsible for where they spend eternity. If you do bring someone, you could be responsible for where they spend eternity. Either way, do it. Don't do it, and I'm going to stand here so that I don't get hit with the ricochet of the lightning bolt when you get struck. And I don't know if you've put your makeup on and lightning strikes you, doesn't matter how thick the makeup is, you don't look good. Bring a friend. Don't make me send the lightning bolts. Last Sunday, we produced and introduced a brand new series at Ignite Youth. Okay, I am going to reconsider whether we're sending lightning bolts in this year. And this was the launch of our Vision Series. Are you ready for week two of the Vision Series? I trust you are, because this is going to take it deeper. Now, for the sake of some of you who weren't here, I'm going to be kind and I'm going to do a little bit of a rewind, okay? Just because I know some of you want to experience this. Last week, we said that our whole church has been thinking over the holiday times and have kind of set themselves a New Year's resolution. And the vision that we've believe that God has been birthing in our midst is that we see lives, communities, and society transformed through discipleship in the Word, the presence, and the power of God. And we broke it down a bit last week, and you can say it with me. We see lives, communities, and society transformed through discipleship in the Word, the presence of God, and the power of God. And last week, what we did is we camped on those first two phrases. It's funny, we spent the whole Sunday morning on the word we and on the word see. Doesn't sound like we did much. But have a look at something of what we looked at. It's we. It's not I. It's not me. This is something that we are going to experience together. Helen Keller once said that alone we can do so little, but together we can do so much. It's true, isn't it? Try and win a game against 11 soccer players if you're only one person. This happens to Greenside all the time, probably. It's really difficult to play on your own. The Bible says that two people are better than one because together they have a good reward for their hard work. If you team up with someone, you can do so much more. If you go your own, you'll achieve maybe that much. But if you team up, you will do so much more. We looked at the C word, and this is all about vision, because this is a year of dreaming and working together so God can change the world through us. You might begin to think already of how I thought Imta is beginning to preach this morning. And this phrase, I think, resonated with us. Imagine with all your mind, not just with a little bit of your mind. Imagine so much more. And then believe with all your heart. If you don't believe you can do something, if you're uncertain, you won't get the job. You won't get the promotion. You won't go to the next level. You will always be hampered. You've got to believe with all your heart and then achieve with all your might. It's a play, I guess, on love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Do great things. Great things. For God. Okay, so are you ready to hit play on what we're going to experience today? It's the next part of the vision statement that we see lives, communities, and society transformed. Wow, that's a bold statement. There are transformations that happen all over. Kill the lights, my good man, because this is what it looks like when transformation takes place. That's a tough question, isn't it? That wasn't an easy question, because some of us really question where the change happens. I want to show you two of my favorite shots of leopards that I've taken. And it relates to this old English proverb, can a leopard change its spots? And it's in the Bible, actually. I don't know if you know that, but this expression, can an Ethiopian change his skin? Can a leopard change its spot? Because some people think that's what you're born with. You can't just suddenly have stripes on your body. And a leopard will always hunt an impala and drag it up a tree. This was a juvenile leopard, not more than maybe 5 meters from us. And as I looked into its eyes, it's a leopard. It's not suddenly going to transform and be a cute little butterfly. It's a leopard. I stayed in the car because even though it looked like you could cuddle it, you could cuddle it for a fraction of the second, and then your makeup will be smudged on your face. I think even though some of us might have answered, haven't seen much change lately, people are just mean and bad, I think we do believe in change. I think deep down we do. We experience change of seasons. And I think we're living in a bit of a topsy-turvy climate at the moment, but there are the seasons of summer that gives way, you know, into what? Autumn. Autumn doesn't last forever. That moves into winter. And winter changes at some point on its own, on the 1st of September, miraculously, into spring. And I want to tell you, maybe this is just a side note, if you're in some kind of a winter, spring is coming. It never stays the same. Have you ever experienced a year of all summer? Deathly hot summer? Maybe in Nigeria? Yes. This is Lagos. It is hot all the time. People wear blankets to sleep at night when it's 26 degrees because that's cold at night. But everywhere else in the world except in the armpit of Africa, Ghana's like that as well. Hot all year round. But even there, there's seasons. Seasons change. I haven't personally been able to figure out how that when this, is it a pupa or something, suddenly goes and goes a bit dormant for a while and suddenly this beautiful butterfly comes out. That's transformation. Clark Kent changes. Nerdy little dude running after Lois Lane. Next minute, help, help. He busts open his clothes, and he's awesome. Try it one day. If someone's in danger, just rip open your T-shirt. It's phenomenal. Make sure it's a worn-out T-shirt because it's very embarrassing when you can't rip it. You know what I mean? Like, hold on, and you cut it with the scissors, and then you rip it. That's very embarrassing. But he changes. And even my friend Bart Simpson changes. There was a day when Bart had got an F. Do you remember the episode? It's called Bart Gets an F. And he's going to be held back a grade, and guess what? He's going to be on Lisa's grade next year. No, let me stop for a moment. No guy wants to have his sister catch up with him at school. No, you don't want to. The other ways, you don't mind, Alex, if your brother catches up. No, you want to keep moving through the grades. He is in absolute fear that he's going to be held back. I want you to listen to his prayer.
This is hopeless. Well, old timer, I guess this is the end of the road. I know I haven't always been a good kid, but if I have to go to school tomorrow, I'll fail the test and be held back. I just need one more day to study, Lord. I need your help. No. A teacher strike, a power failure, a blizzard, anything that'll cancel school tomorrow. I know it's asking a lot, but if anyone can do it, you can. Thanking you in advance, your pal, Bart Simpson.
Hallelujah! 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 So it rains the next day, right? It snows, I mean. And he can't go to school. His prayer has been answered. And you see him the next morning with his little sled running outside. And Lisa stops him and says, I'm no theologian or anything, but I think you made a deal with God last night. And I think you need to go study. And he gets the extra day to study. And he passes his exam. Plus, I think this is actually a very good prayer as a side note. Anytime you want to pray, you need to know that you're praying because things outside of God are hopeless. You can't do it on your own, and he recognizes that. He then addresses God appropriately for Bart by saying, hey, old timer. Now, your affectionate word for God is maybe my father or, hey, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Okay? I guess this is the end of the road. Without you, I'm nothing. I know I haven't always been a good kid. Here's a bit of a confession there, don't you think? You know, hey, God, I don't deserve all this that I'm asking here. And then you need to tell God the situation. God knows it. But like a father, I want my kid to come to me and say, Dad, here's what's going on. And I'm going to listen. I'm not going to interrupt them. And he kind of gives God a few options. You know, God, if you don't have a lot of ideas, you could do this or this or this or this or something, anything. And I know I'm asking a lot. It's grace that I'm asking for. You're for your mercy. But if anyone can do it, you can. You need to believe that God can do something. Thanking you in advance. That's a great way to end a prayer. Hey, I haven't thought of ending it like that. This is going to happen. There's a confidence there. Your pal, your son, your daughter, your friend. And give God your name when you end the prayer so he knows where to send the answer. Okay? So he prays. Now, in a recent series, we looked at how transformation happens when we give our lives to Jesus. We saw there were at least 7 transformations that the Bible speaks to us about. How many of you remember this? We are transformed from dark to light because God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. We were in darkness, but now in light. Secondly, we were dead, but we are now alive. That's right. The Bible says in Colossians 2 and in Ephesians 2 that when we were dead in our sins, God made us alive with Christ. There was like this spiritual state of death, of inability to do anything, certainly no ability to save yourself. If you are outside behind the breakers, beyond backline, and you have no more energy, you are going to drown. You can't save yourself. You are dead in the water, and you need a lifeguard. That's what God has done to us. When we could not save ourselves, he saved us. I was once a slave. Now I am a son. A son has inheritance. A daughter will inherit from the family. The daughter and the son has a privileged position. You are no longer slaves, but God's children, and God has made you heirs. Not heirs, heirs. 4, I was once a sinner, but now I am a saint. We've been transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. Does that mean I never sin? No, not necessarily. I don't joyfully or willingly or live in that state. I'm actually a saint who happens to sin only when my defenses are down and I confess as quickly as possible and I'm in an accountability relationship. Because I am being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ from one degree to another. You know what? I was once human, but I am no longer human. I am superhuman. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. No human being can say that. I have superhuman power. We had a whole series called Supernatural. I am, you know, supernatural because I am. Imta and the band had us singing. I used to be earthly. Now I am heavenly. We are aliens and strangers in the world, citizens of heaven. This is not our place. I belong to another place. I'm actually already, as Andrew Gosman, Pastor Andrew always says, already seated with Christ in heavenly places from the book of Ephesians. I'm living from a heavenly perspective. And 7, I guess I've smudged into this, but I'm not natural, I'm supernatural. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. A transformation has happened. And I know that I'm not what I was before I met Jesus. I know that I'm not what I will be when Jesus comes again. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and I'm becoming something better. Isn't that your testimony? You're not who you were. And if you are, you haven't met this Jesus who brings transformation. There are ways in which I'm thinking better and more true and more open and honest with God than I was before, if God is living in me. Now, the world that we're living in today is very different from the world that I grew up in, that the world that Dorian grew up in, or even the world that CK and Imta grew up in. Because today, we recycle, don't we? every Monday morning, I don't just put out my big black bin. I put out a little see-through bag, and I put out another orange bag, I think it's orange. And into that goes paper, and into the other goes glass and plastics. And we recycle. We're trying to reduce our carbon footprint, our energy use. I want to leave a better world for my grandchildren one day. I don't want Drew and his kids to grow up in a world that's messed. That's not fair. And so we are reusing. Can I tell you something profound that God recycles? God recycles. After all, he made you and I out of dust. That's recycling, isn't it? You don't waste nothing, even dust. God recycles. You will never be obsolete. Listen to this. We live in a world of disposable things, but you are not one of them. You are irreplaceable. You are one of a kind, and there will never be another you. Cloning can't even do that. You are not disposable. Do not let anyone tell you differently. You are unique. You are special. And that's why God will not give up on you. In fact, one of my favorite authors said, you will never lock eyes with someone who is not loved by God, who is not special in the eyes of God. No one. I was rebuked this week by a Mug and Bean owner not far from here because I went into a shop and I brought a pie for an elderly gentleman who was really hungry, who was helping cars park. And he said, you shouldn't go doing that because he's just a bad old guy and he's a problem. He was a hungry man, and in his eyes, I could see a child of God, someone who God loves. We do it because we love God and we see God in people. You will never see someone that God doesn't love. And I want to tell you this morning, categorically, that God loves you. He doesn't care where you've been sleeping. He doesn't care what you've done. He doesn't care who you've hated. He doesn't care even so much that you think you're not good enough for him. He loves you. He's not like some of us parents who expect you to get 90% before we're happy with your report. And we're sorry we do that. Sometimes it's from a good place, a good motivation, because we know you can do so much and you can achieve so much. And we're trying to encourage you to get to a higher level, to go for this degree rather than that diploma. But unfortunately, I apologize, sometimes it makes you think that we don't value you. But we do. We do. A parent does. A parent will take a bullet for you. Just let the opportunity come, and your parent, your caregiver, will step in the way of a bullet for you. I think that says something about your value, don't you? I saw a woman once have her bag snatched. I pulled up the handbrake in the middle of the street, and I ran after this dude until he pulled a knife on me, and then I started dancing around a little tree in the middle of the road. Until a dude put a hand over my shoulder with a 45 Magnum and said, move, sucker, and I'll blow your head off. Not at me, at the other guy. And I was like, whew, where you come from? First National Bank. And it wasn't. It was just a reservist who was off duty. But you know what? I risked my life for some lady that I didn't know from a bar of soap. There was some stupid testosterone in me. But it's because she was valuable. My life was also valuable, and that's why I danced. A gun is, this is the real point of the message today. A gun is better than a knife. Okay, take that away with you. God loves you endlessly, infinitely. He cares about you and everyone in your class, in your suburb, everywhere. I want to challenge you this morning to think that God hasn't given up on this world, that he actually works to transform society. Sometimes we think, you know, God kind of like this watchmaker put this world into being, maybe if we believe in a God. And then he threw it out into space and, well, it's like, let's just hope for the best. And God's gone on a bit of vacation, maybe in a Bahamas type place, and he's in Hawaii or something, and one day he might come back. But he's working to transform society, and what he does is he promotes people to positions of influence. I have no doubt in my mind that, Imta, you've been promoted to a position of influence. And in this building, in this room today, are people who have been or are being promoted to positions of influence, whether in business or whether in schools or families or groups or sports clubs. Because this is how God works in society. He has not given up on society. There are seven spheres or seven mountains in society. Mountains like business, government, family, religion, the media, education, and entertainment. And God is promoting people into all of those spheres. God certainly doesn't want everyone working in the church. Your goal is not to be a pastor, maybe to shepherd people and to lead people into better places, but not as a pastor necessarily, but to be involved in one of those areas. And it's time for Christians to reclaim these seven mountains. This is actually that board over there. If you have a look in this room, there's this process around you of come and encounter Jesus and salvation, which is what Friday night's all about, and then get connected with other believers. And then begin to grow to spiritual maturity, kind of like I'm a little babe and I'm starting to grow to spiritual maturity. And at a certain point, I'm reaching out. And that's why some of you are going to bring someone this week, like guys have been doing on Friday nights lately. But it ends with us saying, I want to be an influencer. After all, our mission is to transform our city and beyond. Transform our city. Can you see why we need to refresh ourselves of what this vision is? I wonder which sphere God is going to call you to make a difference in. Because I don't think it's necessarily going to be all those spheres. But I think God is going to call you, and you'll figure this out, and maybe we'll help you figure it out, but God is going to call you. Some of us, it's going to be in entertainment. Some of us, it's going to be in business. God is going to use you. He's going to promote you to a position of influence. I'm going to give you a quick overview. Because it's happened before. It's happened in the Bible. Moses, a whole nation was in slavery in Egypt, and he led them out into the promised land. Queen Esther stood up as a beauty queen, and she was able to so save her people that they were not killed. Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of the city. It's not a very spiritual thing. It's walls of the city. Paul, he preached in a place and people came and burnt all of their Ouija boards, all of their tarot cards. They brought all of their occult stuff and burnt it in front of them. An incredible experience of transformation happening. There's been a dozen historical transformers. I'll mention just two. John Newton, he was a slave trader. And he and William Wilberforce, good mates, rose up and brought and helped to bring about the end of slavery. I think we're happy about it. You know, I think we're happy. Now, it might suck that I have to do more on my own or pay more for my help, but it's a better just society, isn't it? Because of how God used him. And I could spend the whole morning just talking about what someone in my own lifetime has done to bring about a new world. There's been a lot of other contemporary transformers. You can just pick up a Time magazine, the 100 most influential people. And I want to introduce you to a man who's making waves. Some of you might have heard of him. Watch this.
Here on GMA, we've got the story about Tim Tebow, who's had detractors throughout his entire season, but you cannot deny at this point that he is now a huge phenomenon.
Even before Sunday, we knew Tebow was big, with fans making customized Jesus jerseys and posting pictures of themselves online Tebowing, imitating Tebow's signature on-field prayer position. But after Tebow engineered yet another impossible last-minute win with this 80-yard overtime pass, we now have solid evidence that the dude is genuinely huge. So here it is, a miracle by the numbers. The size of the first hour of Sunday's television audience, 41 million. That's more than double the size of the average NFL game and nearly double the size of last season's American Idol finale. In the moments right after that winning pass, Twitter set a record, nearly 9,500 tweets a second. That's more than after the death of Bin Laden or the death of Steve Jobs, and even during the royal wedding. Another astonishing number, during that winning pass, Tebow had a margin of error of 1/10 of a second to hit his receiver, who was running at more than 16 miles an hour.
That ball couldn't have been too far in front or too far behind because the play wouldn't have occurred in the same way.
But you won't hear Tebow taking any credit.
First and foremost, I just want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Which leads us to the number that so many people are talking about this morning, 316. That's how many yards Tebow passed for in the game, an eerie echo of the numbers he used to paint on his face, 316, in honor of his favorite Bible verse, John 3:16.
Does God really care who wins NFL football games? Probably not. But does he care about those who play or those who watch the games? Unquestionably, he does. Win or lose, no matter what happens with the rest of the Denver Broncos football season, one thing is for certain, people will keep talking about Tim Tebow. And when people are talking about Tim Tebow, they can't help but talk about the profound faith that drives his life in very real ways, both on the field and off the field. Probably most people know that NFL Denver Broncos quarterback Tim Tebow is a strong Christian who is famous for putting scripture verses, most notably John 3:16, on his eye patch when he played college ball at the University of Florida. The recent Sunday game against Pittsburgh had a miraculous finish, with Tim Tebow throwing for a last-second 80-yard touchdown pass in overtime to win the game. Amazingly, it has since been verified that Tebow passed for exactly 316 yards. He passed for those 316 yards in just 10 passes. This means he averaged exactly 31.6 yards for each completed pass. It has also been confirmed that in the last minutes of the game, the Nielsen TV rating audience was exactly 31.6%. Interestingly, a halo appeared above the stadium during the game. The day after the game, John 3:16 was also reported to be the hottest Google search item on the internet. The verse John 3:16 actually summarizes the entire Bible by revealing God's love for the whole world, man's need for redemption, and the great sacrifice of God's Son to provide that redemption. Undeniably, God used a devoted football player and a game to get that message to the world once again. Tim Tebow has written and testified prolifically that while his mother, as a missionary in the Philippines, was carrying him in pregnancy, she became ill, near death, and she was urged by many to abort the child within her. But she refused, promising God that her unborn son would become a preacher if God would spare him. She lived, Tim lived, and God now has a representative in Tim Tebow who carries the message of God's love to the whole world. Tim preaches, the word goes forth, and the message of John 3:16 is still resounding around the planet. Go, Tim.
Just a guy. Just a human being. You know? Just a ball player. Changing the world. How many of you know Julius? Julius is transforming lives in our own city, helping people who are on the street get off a life on the street, get into positions in jobs and fulfillment in their lives. This was some very special people that we met when we felt God was calling us to adopt a child. And there's our little boy, Drew and Guvu, in their hands. That's none other than our very own parents of Zach. But the Webs are doing a phenomenal job in taking kids that have been abandoned, dumped, thrown away, and putting them into homes. Don't you think they're changing lives? They're changing the city a life at a time. And transformation happens. But how does it happen? Now listen up. It happens, according to Romans 12, by renewing our minds. Here's what the Bible says. Because of God's mercy, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Don't conform to this world, but be transformed. How? By renewing your mind. It's about thinking differently. You've heard this, haven't you? What's your thoughts, they become your beliefs. What's your beliefs, they become your words. What's your words,
They become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. And watch your habits, they become your character. It doesn't matter what I think, Dad. No, my love, it does matter what you think, because what you think becomes your character. It's changing how you think. So how do you eat an elephant? Simply one bite at a time. How do you change society, your city, just one life at a time? Just one sphere at a time. You don't have to do it all. I don't have to do it all. It could just be one conversation this week with someone who's looking down and discouraged, and you could make a difference in their life. A fable. No act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted. That's as small as it could be. It's transformed lives that I see in front of me who will transform society. The message today is you can change society. John Mayer's phenomenal. Waiting on the world to change. It's a bit different to what Gandhi said, wasn't it? Be the change you want to see in the world. Quit waiting for the world to change. Change it. Me and my generation, we're going to change the world. One kid, last one, and we're going to pray. One kid can make a difference. It only takes a kid. It only takes maybe just one of us to see transformation happen in our city. Next week, we're going to look at how it happens through discipleship in the Word and what that means for us. Here's my challenge to you. Quit thinking that you can't change the world, because you can. Because God is in you, and greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There is no obstacle that's greater than the God who's in you. And God is just waiting to use you. Let's pray together. Father God, this morning we are challenged. Challenged to think that changes are coming, that changes are possible, because you are at work in us to transform this world. You are maneuvering us into positions of influence. Lord, it's a bit wet out and rainy sometimes, and we'd rather stay in the warmth of our car. But you call us to get out, to get into the mud sometimes, but to make a difference, to bring transformation. We are honored that you want to use us. And Lord, we are up for this. Lord, we know that we mess up sometimes and we're not perfect. And Lord, right now, Lord, I want to just, Lord, retrain my mind. Because sometimes I sit and think that God can't use me because I shouted at that person and I was grumpy in the traffic that day. And Lord, each one of us here has three excuses why you can't use us. And Lord, today we say, won't you use us despite how we think? Help me change the way I think that I can be used of you. Forgive me for thinking less of myself than you think of me. Forgive me, Lord God, for not seeing myself through your eyes. Let me see a reflection in your eyes, Lord, the next time I look up, of who I am because of how you see me. Help me to become all that you've made me to be. Lord, that's our prayer today. And I pray that if any one of you this morning are feeling in any way intimidated, in any way disillusioned, that you would right now say, God, I want to be used by you. And I want you to do something symbolic as we end. If you in a place where you say,
I don't feel good enough. I don't feel right. But I would want God to use me. Then I want you to do something bold. I want you to stand right where you are as a sign that you want God to use you. If you want to be used by God in your home, in your school, in your community, in the greater society, on this continent, in the rest of the world, then I want you to stand to your feet, and I'm going to pray a word of prayer as we close. Yes, Lord, we believe you want to use us. Lord, we don't know how you will, but we know that you will. And today we give ourselves to you. We say no matter what we've done in the past, no matter what people have said about us, none of that defines us. Only what you think of us counts. And today we want you to look in this room, and we want you to come and see the desire of our heart to be used of you. Use us, Lord God. Use us this week. Remind us when we do something that brings change. Let us have a testimony to tell. In the awesome name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to challenge you that if before you go, if you want prayer for anything, if this year is just beating you up back at school and it's tough, why don't you just come up here? If you still feel like, hey, I need to pray about something that's not cool in my life, if there's some area that you need healing in, why don't you come up, and some of us will be standing up here. And otherwise, may God bless you. See you Friday night.